Hi, this is Aliza Licht, and this is Leave Your Mark, the podcast, where I brew fresh career advice in conversation with some of my most inspiring and successful friends. It's professional advice that you can action immediately, whether you're just starting out in your career or well on your way. With a massive to-do list and a large cup of coffee, I promise that you can get it all done and still have time to post about it.
I'm very excited to welcome Joey Gonzalez, who is the CEO of Barry's, to Leave Your Mark today. Joey, welcome.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
Oh my God, it's a pleasure. For everyone listening, I don't think Barry's needs an introduction, but I'll say it anyway. Barry's is the original cardio and strength interval workout that began as a global boutique fitness movement. Joey, I'm really excited to talk to you today because I think your story of first being a client, then an instructor, and now the CEO of Barry's is the most incredible trajectory I have heard probably ever. So you are pivotal in the expansion of Barry's brand worldwide, and you currently have over 70 studios in 30 cities across the US, UK, France, Italy, Scandinavia, Mexico, Australia, Southeast Asia. I mean, it's insane. And more than just your role as CEO, I think it's incredibly important to note that you spend a lot of time dedicating the brand's commitment to really important values such as diversity and inclusivity through initiatives such as United We Sprint, an annual celebration of World Pride Month. So I love that. In 2018, for everyone listening, Joey was named to Fast Company's Most Creative People in Business. And in addition to you being a father, you also sit on the board of the Family Equality Council, and you're currently studying at Harvard Business School to earn your OPM degree. Are you, like, do you get more than 24 hours in your day? I'm just curious.
You're really talking me up.
Well,
keep going.
I'll keep going, but I don't even know where to begin. So first of all, tell us a little bit about your background. Where did you grow up? What were you like? Were you a super active child? Is this like your future vision was to be literally killing yourself exercising all day?
Not at all. No. So I grew up in the Midwest. I was raised by a mother from southern Italy and a father from Cuba, which was a really important part of my childhood and of, you know, who I became, because to watch two immigrants work so hard and to learn the value of what it means to have a hard work ethic and what it takes to put food on the table. And, you know, having grown up in the Midwest in arguably one of the most homogenous places on earth, being someone who was ethnic and also LGBTQ was not without its challenges, you could say. So I think that that childhood and the environment in which I grew up really motivated and incentivized me to dream about a world of inclusiveness and make sure that as long as I had anything to say in it, like the people around me would be accepted and loved for who they were. But I did not think that that would be in fitness. And I actually grew up a childhood actor.
Wow.
Yeah. And so around the age of 13, I asked my mom, I always had a lot of initiative, thank God I had her support, to drive me downtown Chicago to audition for a professional, you know, musical on stage. And I had zero experience. And I ended up booking it. And it just was a wild dream come true. And that started, you know, a long journey of about 10 years of professional acting in film and TV. And that's actually what brought me to Los Angeles, was I studied film and theater at USC.
That is so cool. I mean, you look like an actor, I will say that. You definitely do.
Thanks.
People who are listening, definitely Google Joey Gonzalez. Very handsome guy. So you sign up for a Barry's class and sort of the rest is history or what? Like, yeah. How did that all transpire?
So I had heard Barry's was just a very small, local to LA, hole in the wall, first of its kind concept. And so I'd heard about it for about a year and a half before I actually was brave enough to take it. And it was very confusing to me because Barry was, you know, at the forefront of boutique fitness. He was really ahead of his time. And so this experience that he created was unlike anything else. And so immediately I was confused, like, do I need a membership? I don't understand. And I showed up with a friend and went through probably 60 of the most challenging physical minutes of my life. And I didn't grow up super active. I mean, I had to, you know, sing and dance, and I loved movement in that way, but I was never really into sports. And so this sort of like disciplined approach to fitness was new for me, but I fell in love. And immediately at Barry's, you get the chance to like watch your weights get heavier and your speeds get faster. And it came to me at a moment in my life where I wasn't enjoying success and I was really at a career crossroads. I had sort of given up on the acting thing. I was an office temp and I was just kind of struggling to figure out directionally where I was headed. And I just followed my heart and it brought me to Barry's, you know, twice a day for probably a year before Barry finally said, do you want to be a teacher here? And I said, yeah, I do.
Wait, Joey, twice a day. Okay, so let me just tell you my Barry's experience really quickly.
Yeah.
So I am married to basically a Barry's addict who has taken me many times. We go in Waynescott.
I love it.
Long Island. And he's super, super athletic. And he will do the 10 on the treadmill. He'll do whatever the instructor says. I am like the slug next to him that's like, I'm just going to go at my own pace. But no matter, even if I go at my own pace, I feel like I am having a heart attack when I leave that class. So twice a day, you were obsessed and addicted beyond.
I was obsessed, but right there, you just explained what I loved about it, right? Like anyone can go, really. It doesn't only, you know, I think Barry's has this reputation that it's for elite athletes. But back in the day, Bob Harper and Jillian Michaels, they would bring the whole cast of The Biggest Loser to Barry's classes. And they do it. And everyone goes at their own pace. And the magic of it is how much fun you can have. Like if you stop caring and trying to be a hero and just like deal with what's in front of you, like as fast of a run as you can give them, you know, as many pushups as you can do. No one is going to ridicule you or make fun of you, and everyone there is supportive. So that's part of what I fell in love with, was how diverse the crowd was.
And I do think it motivates you, well, certainly me, because I would say I'm typically like a lazy exerciser. Like I'll do the treadmill, but like at any speed, but I still did it, right? So I think what's great about it is it motivates you to just reach your personal best. And I think you're right. I don't have to feel like I need to go to 10 on the treadmill because my husband goes to 10, although he is super judgy about it. But aside from that, other people probably don't experience that. So just going back to your journey, you become an instructor.
Yep.
And then, I mean, were you teaching every day? Like,
no, I was very, very part-time. I was still working my office job full-time, and I was, you know, driving sometimes 45 to 60 minutes to teach a class of three people, but I loved it so much that it didn't matter. I'd spend more on gas than I'd make when I got there. But I just kept, you know, I stuck to it. And I heard from Barry, because we became friends, that the GM was planning to leave. And so I took a big risk and I, you know, quit my job, and the office where I was temping actually offered me a full-time position at the same time. And I said no. And I got a job as a sales associate at Gold's Gym, which, you know, paid a lot less and is not a glamorous job. You know, at that point in time, they would send me out with flyers to like public parks to hand out to people offering a free week. So it was not a glamorous job by any means, but I just wanted experience, and boutique fitness didn't exist. So the way I thought I could get it was by working some sort of admin position, you know, in fitness. And so I spent the next 3 to 4 months putting on my black polo and heading, you know, to Gold's Gym and working 9-10 hour days. It was challenging because I didn't know how it was going to end. But I think that's like what's so fun about life, right? Is like when you take these risks on and they pay off, there's just so much reward. And so when the job finally became available and I was able to apply for it, I think that my experience there and some of my ideas around how I would change Barry's were part of why the partners were interested in hiring me.
So what year was this?
This was 2004. And actually, one of the first things I did goes back to how I said I would do berries twice a day. I didn't like how I had to pay for every single class I did because I went so often. So one of the first initiatives was launching our membership program. And since then, like, that's always been a huge inspiration for me, is remembering how frequently I used to go to berries. And so we try at berries to reward frequency now all the time, whether it's through our pricing or our challenges or any of that.
It's incredible. So how long were you GM before, was it GM to CEO, or was there,
no,
were there jobs in between?
There was a lot in between. So I ran the business for, it's so long ago now, but probably 3 to 4 years, maybe even longer. So it was 4.5 years before I finally was able to partner with the founders and open what was my first studio in San Diego. Mm-hmm. And I had, done as good a job as possible at articulating what my goals were to them on a very regular basis, saying, look, I want to dedicate my life to this. I am young, wide-eyed, I'll move anywhere. I have capital to invest. And so finally, I pushed hard enough to where they said, okay, great, let's do this thing in San Diego. And so it was our first test. It was our first test of portability, you could say. Would this survive mm-hmm. outside our own backyard? And I opened Berries San Diego in arguably one of the worst times possible, which was like January of 2009. Mm. And living now through a very different crisis, looking back, I just was so lucky that the business was a success and profitable pretty much out of the gates. And that kind of gave me the courage. And it gave them, the courage to invest in what was our next Berries, New York City, which was Chelsea, our first studio, which is when the real explosive growth started to happen. And Berries Chelsea is where I kind of took the old footprint and completely revised it. Because the original Berries was around 1,400 square feet total. A very small studio with around 30 capacity. One toilet that actually lived in the studio. So if anyone went, you knew. And a really, really small lobby. And Chelsea, over double square footage. Like, we ended up being at around 500 to 5,500 square feet, full locker rooms and showers, all the amenities. We added fuel bar, which was actually a labor of love between my husband and me. He's a healthy, fresh California chef and restaurant owner here. So we worked diligently on recipes to create protein shakes and other things at the fuel bar. And we launched that in Chelsea in 2011. So it was kind of like the new Berries 2.0 model, which is how all of them are today.
I think it's so inspiring to hear how you sort of progressed. And then at some point, the CEO, was Barry the CEO when you were in these roles, or?
No, so John Mumford was always the CEO. So Barry was backed by John and Rachel Mumford. Rachel and Barry came up with the idea together back in 1997 or 8, and then opened in October of 98. And John at the time was an attorney, and he was the acting CEO until 2015 when we did our first private equity raise. So we grew organically until 2015, so until 5 years ago.
And that's when you took on, right?
Once North Castle came in as a majority shareholder, they appointed me to the CEO position.
Oh my God. So it's been 5 years now.
Yeah.
And you have such an incredible history with this brand. I mean, you probably dream about Berries in your sleep.
Yes. Which makes it hard to sleep.
especially right now. Was there anyone throughout your career journey and sort of your rise in the company, and obviously not naming names, but did you feel like you were always supported, or were there some constituents who didn't want to see you rise to the top?
Oh, I was constantly challenged. yeah, it was a very turbulent, 15, 17 years, however long it's been now. I think that adversity fuels greatness. Mm-hmm. And that certainly has been truth in my life before Berries. Every time, I notice a pattern in my life that every time things get hard and I want to give up, the best times in my life immediately follow that.
I'm just thinking that, a lot of people would not have the stomach to handle that, right? And I think especially, like, I spent 17 years in fashion at one company, at Donna Karan. And I think when you grow up in a company, so to speak, a lot of times people don't think you have, like, the chops, right, to be at the top level because you grew up there. So you don't have any other experience. So how did you sort of look past all the naysaying and sort of the pushback and have the faith in yourself to say, you know what, I know I can do this. Like, I'm just going to ignore whomever.
I didn't have that much internal pushback.
Okay.
Because, you know, I did the best I could to foster a culture and an environment of inclusivity. And, you know, I, like I said earlier, it was really important for me to always motivate my employees, to have a lot of touch points, to build relationships. A lot of times I hired very close friends of mine who are still with me. Some of them have been with me for over 15 years. So I felt very supported. And, you know, when I stepped into the CEO position, it felt more like there was, you know, a bleacher full of people cheering for someone that they felt was on their level. Then, you know, fashion's very different. Can be very different.
That's true. Well, you created this perfect segue because I wanted to ask you your leadership style. Like, obviously, your instructors have to motivate people like us, people like me, right? Yep. So how do you motivate your instructors and your team to just constantly have that, like, cheerleader kind of mentality of just go, go, go?
So we're definitely like a mission, vision, values driven organization. And we've done a great job, especially after the North Castle transaction. One of my biggest fears was, how do I maintain this culture as we scale? And the best way to do that is really to dig deep, figure out what it is that makes your organization special, and write it down. Figure out a way to articulate that to employees, both new and old, so that they understand, you know, it not only provides a code of conduct, but it also helps them understand what the shared purpose is. And sometimes people come to the realization that, like, they don't have a shared purpose with the organization. And that's okay. You know, that means it's sort of their time to leave. And so I'd say we had this, like, transitional couple of years where we were really identifying that and scaling that out to all the different layers. Most people stayed, some left. But those values are exactly what you would expect from Barry's. They are family first and foremost, right? How we treat one another. They work hard. So this is not really a place you come to if you just want to, like, float by and not do much. but I think what makes that so tolerable is that another value is have fun. And you're just expected, if you have a job at Barry's, I mean, you really should be having fun no matter what that job is. And there are more, like, innovation, you know, throughout this discussion. You've already heard a lot of ways that we've innovated the business, but that continues on even until today.
You know, I think that makes perfect sense to me, but it doesn't always, you know, when pressure rises, right? We're in a situation right now where everyone had to pivot. And I'd love to hear from you sort of, I know you're doing a lot of online classes now and you have pivoted hardcore since April. And by the way, nice quote in the New York Times last week.
Well, thanks.
But, you know, you clearly are someone who thinks on your feet and is good under pressure. So walk us through when the pandemic hit, like, your entire business is in person. So what were, like, the steps you took to sort of make that transition and move everyone over to online?
Yeah. So, I mean, first I'll start by saying Barry's for 21 years has never closed our doors, even for a full day. We are open, you know, 365 days a year. So to have had to have done that was heartbreaking, but we did do it across the US and in Canada and across the UK prior to any national mandates, because we were prioritizing the health of our, both our clients and our employees. Once we did that, it was a genuine organic desire to stay mission focused and engaged and connected to our customer. Our customers come to us not only to exercise, but also just to feel good and move. And so right away, within 48 hours, we were live from the Red Room, because we still could go to the Red Room in LA doing, you know, at least two Barry's workouts per day that were complimentary and featured on Instagram. And so that just came from a real place of like wanting desperately to stay connected to our customers and continue to feel the purpose that we have. And out of that, you know, we spent a few weeks doing that. Our social following grew tremendously, because obviously people who had never even heard of Barry's were having these really fun experiences twice a day sometimes. And, you know, we launched eventually what is called Barry's at Home. So this is our product that actually has a paywall in between it and the customer. And Barry's at Home was born for two reasons. One, we actually had a lot of customers, a lot of clients asking, how can I support you during these times? And we didn't feel right. Actually, a lot of gyms allowed clients to just continue to pay membership fees, which I think is beautiful. And when you feel that committed to a business and a company, it's great. We didn't feel right about taking people's money for nothing. So we thought long and hard, like, how can we develop and sell something that has real value and that can continue to transform lives worldwide? And what we never anticipated was that we would, you know, stumble onto Barry's at Home. It has definitely outpaced the ramp and growth that we expected from any sort of digital product we put together in that short amount of time. And then the other reason was the real, you know, need to start generating revenue. And despite Barry's at Home's success, it still doesn't even come close to being able to cover our financial liabilities right now with closures, but it's something, you know, and it gives just the value of connecting our community to our instructors and our moderators has just been amazing. Even personally for me, I teach a few a week, and once I'm in that room and I'm on Zoom with the customers, it's the best part of my week. And I just leave high.
So I love that you still teach. I did read that about you. And I'm just curious, like, when you teach, are you like, hey, I'm Joey, your instructor and the CEO of Barry's. Like, does everybody know, like, you're the CEO? It's kind of like undercover boss.
I don't know, actually. I wonder that sometimes myself. I think some people, like a lot of our brand evangelists, know. I think there are people who follow me on Instagram who don't necessarily know or care, but they know I'm a trainer because I've never stopped teaching, right? So I've always been in the Red Room, and it's a big part of who I am, both as, you know, somebody in fitness and an entertainer at heart. You know, we call it the intertrainer. And so, yeah, it just brings me so much joy. You know, every Friday I teach a flashback Friday class. So it's like 80s and 90s and 2000s, and I'm dressed in a ridiculous costume. And people who do know who I am get to see that I don't take myself too seriously.
I love it.
And really embrace that, like, have fun value, you know?
Is there a time in your career at Barry's where you had to face, aside from the pandemic, like a really big obstacle where you sort of didn't think you were going to overcome it, but then you did? And can you share that?
I would say opening Barry's Chelsea, I had zero headcount, no infrastructure. And so I was, you know, acting everything. Like I had to oversee development, construction, all of the lease negotiations. I was on site throughout the, you know, 10-month build out, dealing with subs. And anyone who's dealt with New York City construction understands how painful this is for someone who has zero experience.
I'm nodding, yes.
You know, at the same time, like, I was working on our marketing plan and, you know, both digital and community marketing. And I was hiring for not only the Red Room and training instructors, but also hiring front desk and management. And it just was the hardest year of my life. And until then, I actually thought anxiety was something that was made up. But it was around, I was like, there's no way. Is this a real thing? And then once I went through that and my heart was just like in my lungs every single day, and I thought I was going to have a panic attack. And there were some days where I did, but, you know, I came out of it so much stronger. It was almost like a graduate school for me. I have an incredible amount of empathy and understanding now for my executive team because of how long I did that. And it just all in all was one of the best but most painful experiences.
Why did you have zero headcount at that time?
Oh, we had two studios. You know, we were in LA and San Diego, and the only people that were on our payroll were people in operations. So it was just instructors, desk staff, and our facilities. That was it.
I mean, I think that is a business school training because you basically wore every single hat.
Mm-hmm.
And now, especially at a time, you know, I've been having so many conversations with people who are either CEOs who have laid off staff or candidates who are seeking jobs. And you really need to be a generalist because the teams are just so much smaller.
Yeah.
So you kind of do have to know how to do everything.
Yep.
So that's incredible. What would you say to someone who is intimidated to try Berries?
The words we usually start with are don't be a hero. Just show up and have fun, because that's actually the thing that hooks people. Obviously, it's a results-driven experience. If you go to Berries, you know, even 3 weeks, and you go, let's say, like minimum 4 times a week for 3 weeks, you will immediately start to see changes in your body. That speaks to the strength of the product. But there's this whole other side that makes it appealing. And there are a lot of ways out there that you can see results, right? And what's different about Berries is the like community and the fun. I think one of the things people don't understand about it is that it's you versus you more than most group fitness experiences. A lot of times you go to a class, there's somebody on a stage and it's a performance and you're there for them, really. Like you're there to connect with their energy. At Berries, whether you're on the treadmill or you're on the floor, you're sitting in front of a mirror and your instructor is the background to you. And that's really, I think, what makes it so appealing to so many different kinds of people, because it's not only people who have been jumping around boutique studio to boutique studio and can't find something that works for them, but it's also people who just hate working out in groups and really like working out by themselves or with personal trainer. And they come to Berries and they're like, this is great. It's kind of dark. I can be totally anonymous. I can pick a treadmill in the corner and my spot on the floor. So it actually ends up being way less intimidating than anybody ever thinks after their first visit.
You know, now that you say it, that makes so much sense. They are in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very effectively in the background, but yes. Still in the background. I've taken Connor's class a lot.
Oh, yes. Love Connor.
Connor's amazing. At this point, do you feel that Berries at Home is really the future of Berries, or do you feel like, are you so excited to get back in the studio?
So excited to get back in the studio. Beyond. I think like the silver lining for this whole thing has been Berries at Home. And that experience and product isn't going anywhere. In fact, we are dedicated to improving it, augmenting it, making it a part of the Berries, you know, omnichannel presence for good. And what I love about that is our community now extends way beyond where our brick and mortar locations are. And I get DMs from people every day who live in Cincinnati or, you know, wherever they might be, saying, I had never been to Berries. I hadn't even like heard of it until recently. And I love the Berries at Home product. And it's kind of crazy because our conversion rate, which just means if a first timer comes and tries it, would they be likely to come back, is 50%. Mm-hmm. So one out of two people, and these are people who have never come in contact with the brand, it's their first experience with Berries, one out of two is coming back for more and just loving it. And so I do absolutely think Berries at Home is a big part of our future, but personally speaking, and I know that a lot of people can relate with me at this moment in time, like I am so yearning human connection. I really want to be, when it's safe, in a room filled with other bodies, enjoying something and clapping and hearing music go through my body. And that will never, that is irreplaceable. No matter how long it takes us to come out of this moment in time, there will always be a demand for that experience.
I could not agree more. I mean, unfortunately now I walk down my block and I'm like, there's a person. Oh my God, there's a person. Like, to the other side. Like, how did we get here? Talk to me about your commitment to diversity and inclusivity, and how does that play out internally and externally for Barry's?
Yeah, so it's always been top of mind, I think, not only from like an HR standpoint and how we hire, but also just in how we relate to employees. I know that being, you know, LGBTQ and growing up that way, like it was never enough to feel accepted. You always wanted to feel like appreciated, right? It's not just like, okay, that you are this and you work here. You want to feel celebrated.
Yeah.
Like, so that's, I think, a part of when we've surveyed employees at Barry's, one of the most common denominators we find is that people from all walks of life say, I have always felt weird or this or that, and I've never felt more at home or appreciated than at Barry's.
I love that.
Yeah, I think that luckily for us, because of my background, has come very organically. But what I love is that a lot of organizations that don't have that leadership are making efforts now to try to accomplish it through other means, right? Because you can do it. There are ways to make your organization inclusive without necessarily like having the experience at the top.
I could not agree more. And I also think it's a way to really create innovation because you want different perspectives, right? You don't want just one view on a business. And
totally.
I think that's really something that a lot of management doesn't think about. Like the companies who have not strived to be inclusive and diverse don't realize that it's actually such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
What's your personal life motto?
Replace fear with focus.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Never more important than now. Yeah.
Joey, I like it. Did you come up with that or did someone teach you that?
I did. Yeah, I came up with that.
Out of your own fears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's another one of our values is actually fearlessness. And, you know, when you start to practice meditation and when you really try to improve yourself through whatever means you're doing, you really start to understand how fear is the thing that comes in between you and the things that you want. And moving in the world in such a way that you're like scared about what the future holds because you're making up what the future holds is just the most damaging place to live. It's why people stay in abusive relationships. It's why people stay in jobs they don't like. It is the number one cause of unhappiness is fear.
How do you get to focus though? Like, what are your tactics? Like, you have an enormously busy job. You have family. The world is basically crumbling around you, essentially, all of us. So how do you really sort of reach out and get that focus when it's, I feel like there's so much noise and there's so many distractions and so many reasons that it's hard to find focus?
Yeah, it is very challenging. And for me, it's different for everyone, I think, but for me, it's about meditation and different practices in my life. Like Barry's was that for me. So now Barry's at Home has become that for me. And so I meditate every day. I work out every day. And what you can't prevent is fear. Like it's going to happen no matter what. And we were preconditioned at a very, very young age to experience our subconscious experiences the world that it does. And unfortunately, some of us experience a lot more fear than others. I'm lucky, I would call myself light on the fear. I've dealt with a lot of different types of personalities and I'm not like, you know, somebody who lives in constant fear, but the acknowledgement of that fear is where the power comes in and you can see it for what it is. Like you're afraid of something most oftentimes that hasn't happened yet, right?
True.
So that's what helps with meditation is the stillness of the mind. It really helps you come to terms with that and practice it throughout the day. So I start my day with a 10-minute guided meditation. I have an app called Calm, which has been a lifesaver during the past, you know, 3 months, especially. And it kind of sets the tone for the rest of your day.
I'm going to retry it. I've tried. I find it really hard to sort of get that quiet.
You know what that means?
It means that I have ADD. What?
No, just... It means it's similar to what I say to people, Barry's. It means people like who say that need it most.
Oh, yeah. Well, for sure. For For sure. For sure. But like, I'm someone who also, when I go to get a massage, the first 40 minutes, I'm like sitting there thinking about like all the things I haven't done that I need to do like that day. So it's, I need to like calm my brain. So aside from berries and working out and meditation, what else do you love to do in your free time, which is probably like 4 seconds a day? How do you spend your 4 seconds, Joey?
So nowadays, another silver lining for me has been the amount of time I've been spending with my children, which has always been obviously one of my favorite things to do. But having the career I do and traveling as much as I do, I've never spent this amount of uninterrupted time with my children. It's like hours and hours every day. And
how old are they?
My daughter's 4.5 and my son just turned 3. Aww. And they're so cute. And, you know, the other day, my husband and I went out and left our kids with Stephanie, who helps take care of them. And she put them both down. And I looked at him and I was like, this is the first time in 3 months that we're not putting our kids down, which was just like wild for both of us because he, you know, owns restaurants and works full time as well. So that's really how I spend my free time. And also, given that I have to work from home, how I spend my non-free time as well, because they're 3 and 4. They don't care what you're doing. If you're on a call, they might walk in now at any moment, actually. So
I welcome it. I'm sure they're adorable.
Yeah.
I know. I get it. I mean, I have 2 kids also. They're older, 15 and 12. And I mean, it's funny because when you think previously that you're like super present and you spend quality time when you're home, you realize, wow, there is like a lot of time that you're not spending with them.
Yep.
So that is a silver lining for sure. Do you ever wake up? Has this ever happened? Be honest. I know you're the CEO of Berries and all, but do you ever wake up and say to yourself, I just can't work out tonight?
I mean, yeah. Yeah. It's definitely happened.
But you force yourself.
Yeah. I don't want to lie and pretend that I like go through that struggle often because I really do like working out.
Okay.
But I do have days where I wake up and don't want to work out. And I usually just don't work out. I think the danger for other people is that might be every day. For me, that's like once a week at the most.
Well, the quarantine 15 is a real thing that people are experiencing. When people feel like it's so far gone and they've already like gained the weight, how would you advise people to sort of get back on track? And a lot of people, when they feel like they've gained weight, don't want to work out because they feel too big to work out, if that makes sense. Or at least I'm speaking for myself. Like, what would you say to those people?
I mean, especially right now with this healthcare crisis, you couldn't have more reason in front of you than why you should work out. A lot of the deaths we're seeing here in the U.S. are because we have a 50% obesity rate as compared to single digits throughout Asia, right? And, you know, I have actually been speaking with and consulting with a head epidemiologist in Boston who's a professor at Harvard and kind of in the eye of the storm. And he has, you know, told me time and time again that, you know, obviously age and obesity are really the main reasons why so many people are dying right now from COVID-19. And you know, even outside of this pandemic, there's a healthcare crisis here in the States. And people are so unhealthy, they're obese, they're developing diabetes. And the number one preventative treatment is exercise. So now I feel like it's at a point where, like, if you care about yourself and you love yourself, you're going to work out. You know, you need to move your body and you need to do these things.
I agree.
It's also the only thing out there, truly, that has proven to help you look better, feel better, and live longer. Like, I mean, I would just write that down, look at it every morning, and be like, do I not want to do those 3 things? Okay, I'm going to work out.
So I recently had on the podcast, her name is Eve Rotsky. She's the author of Fair Play.
Okay.
And I think, you know, we're all home right now with our spouses, our kids. How have you tackled work-life balance with your husband before? And do you feel like it's so much harder now that, like, you know, obviously cleaning, cooking, I mean, your kids aren't in school yet, but like there's so many different responsibilities. Do you guys have it down pat? Because her book actually has this like really smart card game where there's like 100 household tasks and you redeal every week. And then you sort of just like complete each task from conception to execution. So I'm curious how it works in your house.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been like a divide and conquer situation. I'm living under unique circumstances because when this all started to happen back in March, I had 4 employees that were coming over just to work every day, one in marketing, another who runs operations for me, another who runs curriculum, so is in charge of all the instructors and talent, and then one other in marketing. And I said to them all, like, you are all more than welcome to stay here in our home and work through this, having no idea it was going to be 3 months. And so they said, yeah, let's do it. And every day we've had like a war.
They live there?
Yeah. They've lived with me this entire time. 2 of them actually just left today to go to Texas to start to get ready to open studios there. But we had no idea how long it would take. And it ended up being so fun. I mean, it was just, it's been our tribe. And so we, you know, have meals together. The kids have loved having them. It's just been, it's created a really interesting, fun dynamic. And I always say to my husband, like, do you think we would have killed each other if all these people weren't here with us?
Yes.
Yeah,
the answer is yes.
So it's been different for us.
That is
wild.
Wild.
I know.
You're like the best CEO ever.
Well, that's, I mean, that's honestly how Barry's grew forever. Like, it was a very scrappy organization where, you know, when I first opened Barry's, I had a 2-bedroom apartment in Chelsea. 6 of us lived there with like 4 dogs. Everyone just slept wherever they could. And it has always been a family. That's always been the way that we roll. And so this has been no exception.
That is absolutely mind blowing.
Yeah.
So last question of the podcast is always the same. How do you want to leave your mark?
In life or on your podcast?
Well, I would say in life.
Okay. How do I want to leave my mark? I think it all comes back to the mission and vision statement of the organization, which is to transform lives worldwide and, you know, to create a safe haven for people all over the world, no matter where they live. And, you know, we've had clients reach out before and say, you know, you operate in places in the mid, you know, in the Middle East that aren't in line with your values. And a lot of times what I say to them is, this is actually a place where people just like you and me get to go to have fun and feel safe and be with a community. And so as we scale that more across the United States and across the world, it brings me so much joy to know that, you know, my legacy is leaving behind a place of inclusivity. You know, a healthcare, I think of Barry's as like a preventative healthcare, you know, organization that gives people more than just health. It gives them love. So, Yeah.
I got chills. It's really wonderful. And I think that you have done such an incredible job, not just from the point of view of growth of business, but I think the values that you have and the values that you're sharing are contagious. And I think your community really appreciates it. So thank you so much for coming on Leave Your Mark. It was a pleasure talking to you and hearing about your entire career.
Thank you. I loved it. Hopefully I'll see you in the Red Room one day.
Oh my God.
You've got to come take my class. I teach in Wainscott all the time when we're there.
Well, then I probably will take your class, but I will tell you that you will not be very impressed with me.
I'll love it.
I'm much better in a corporate office.
Thanks so much for listening to Leave Your Mark, the podcast. If you want more career advice, be sure to pick up my best-selling book, Leave Your Mark. If you want to subscribe to my career advice newsletter, Blackboard, you can do so on alizalicht.com. Be sure to follow me on Instagram at alizalichtxo or reach out on Twitter at alizalicht. And just remember this, if change doesn't hurt a little, it's not change. Keep on rocking.